Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Ah! Wake me up! Free me from this! Wake me up when
it's all over. That wake-up guy was trouble.
Yo, get out of bed! What are you doing? You're late!
I'm wide awake.
Come on, everybody! Wake up! Rise and shine!
Wake me up when September
ends. Come on, sleepyhead. It's time to wake up.
Wake up, will you, pal?
This is my wake-up show.
Now waking you up from the Palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
Oh, we have a show for you today. I'm super excited. We have Bob and Sherry's Small Plates, and we have comedian Gabriel Rutledge popping by. How to be a more romantically competent person. And I want to start off by talking about the Investigation Discovery documentary Quiet on the Set, which details some of the really horrific goings-on with child actors at Nickelodeon back in like the 90s and early 2000s. I'm talking Victorious, iCarly, Zoe 101, Drake and Josh, mm-hmm. All That, Kenan and Kel. All of those shows that a lot of people listening, your kids kind of grew up on. So Quiet on the Set, there are only three episodes in the documentary. And every once in a while you watch something and you can't go to other people and go, oh, you totally have to see this, because it's so upsetting and disturbing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, I have an easier time telling people to go watch like a horrific true crime documentary than I do Quiet on the Set. I mean, we watched all three episodes back to back, and I mean, I had tears rolling down my face. I was physically sick watching a lot of what was in that show. And so I was cruising through the Hollywood Reporter, and there's Frankie Muniz, who played Malcolm in the Middle, and he was also like Agent Cody Banks and the movie Big Fat Liar. Big, big, big career. He no longer acts. I think he's a race car driver now.
Mm-hmm.
But he, by the time he retired from acting, he had about $40 million from his childhood career. And he said, it was great. It set me for life, but I would never let my kid go into show business. Not that I had a negative experience, these are his exact words, but because, to be honest, my experience was 100% positive. But I know many people, friends that were close to me, that had such insanely negative experience. So Muniz did not name names, but he mentioned Quiet on the Set, and he said, setting that aside, it's an ugly world in general. There's so much rejection, a ton of rejection. Even when you're talented, there's no guarantee you'll get cast unless you win the hair color lottery. Because he said, in the beginning, that's all it is. You know, me getting Malcolm in the Middle, maybe that was a little bit different. But as a child actor, you get picked because you look like you could be the kid of the parents that they've cast.
Oh,
yeah.
That makes sense, actually. Yeah.
And he said, I like to be honest about it. A million people in Hollywood who try won't even, and they could be an amazing actor, but they won't even get an opportunity. It's not like other industries where you can work really hard and you can keep going and work your way up the ladder. This business, it's a lot of luck. And so while he did not go into the, and his words were insanely negative experiences of his friends, if you watch Quiet on the Set, you'll get more than a dose of what he's talking about. And
for instance,
I'll just start you
Drake
off.
And Josh.
This has been going on, you know, since movies were being made.
Yeah.
And you can see documentaries about how those people back in the 1930s and 40s were starving Judy Garland. I mean, the poor thing weighed nothing. And they kept an eye on her, making sure she didn't eat much. that sort of
Drake
thing.
Drake Bell of Drake and Josh was repeatedly raped and molested by the Brian Peck, the dialogue coach. So, and he broke down and told his mother everything, and his mother immediately called the police, and Peck got arrested, and the news hit. Drake was a minor. Brian Peck is no relation to Josh Peck, by the way. It's just a coincidence. But when the news hit, it was Nickelodeon dialogue coach Brian Peck arrested for molesting a child actor who is a minor and not being named. That was Drake Bell. Mm-hmm. So in a lot of ways, his courage in coming forward brought the whole thing toppling down. There are other things in the documentary that I'd rather really not talk about on the show.
Right.
Because I think that you should have the choice whether or not you want to take this content in.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It is like Karamia. Remember when Karamia, my youngest, was little? She used to every year she'd make a PowerPoint to try to persuade me to go out to LA so she could audition for pilot season. And every year I said the same thing. You're lucky you're dancing. No child of mine is going into show business on my watch. And now, of course, you know, she's glad that we made those decisions. But it's pretty strong stuff. It's not for everybody. But I want to shout out that kid's courage and his parents, because they're the reason why that offender, and there are others at Nickelodeon and elsewhere in the world, but Drake is the reason why that offender was taken down. Wow. Of course, he went on to get other jobs in Hollywood because, you know, we all know how the world works. We got morons in the news coming up. Comedian Gabriel Rutledge. This is Bob and Sherry.
True. Weird. Stuff.
Omaha, 1890. Alan and Dorothy Jones were brutally murdered at their farm. The culprit? A man named Ed Neal, or so they say. Little is known about who he was or where he came from, but the actions of this ruthless killer sparked bloodlust in a town hell-bent on revenge.
True. Weird. Stuff.
New episodes drop every Friday, everywhere you get your podcasts.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
I present to you right now things that are normal to men and yet astounding to women. I'm just going to burn through these. Long car rides with another guy. Nobody says anything. Nobody's mad. That does happen. I've done it. Longest car ride I ever had was between Chattanooga, Tennessee and Charlotte, North Carolina. 6 hours with a guy who was the most boring guy I've ever met in my life. And I tried to make conversation, but then decided he's too boring to talk to. And I didn't say anything for like 3 hours. And it was fine. I cannot picture my wife being comfortable with that situation.
I would be, as long as I knew that, you know, it wasn't an angry silence. Like if we're just chilling and listening to something and every once in a while stop in to use the bathroom and buy some M&Ms, I'm good. I'm really good with that.
You are different. Listen to this one. My wife continually asks me, did anyone say anything about your new shirt, about your new hairstyle, about those new shoes? Did anyone mention that? Mary does that to me all the time. I will have a meeting with you guys. It's just a regular boring meeting with radio people. And she'll come back and said, what happened? What happened in the meeting? Did anybody do something crazy? No, nothing happened. This guy says, I went to a girl's house recently and she and her roommates were shocked that I didn't share my location with my friends. Why would I do that? What, is that a woman's thing to share location?
Yes, so that we know you're safe. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm shocked. Yeah.
This person says, for that matter, two guys, friends, can spend the afternoon together, have a great time, come home, and have their respective wives be absolutely bewildered that they didn't learn anything about what's going on in the other guy's life.
Oh my God!
I get that all the time.
Oh yeah!
I get that all the time.
I will see somebody. I will have lunch with a guy. Carl and say, well, "How are they doing?" I guess. What do you mean? Okay, I guess. Did you look him in the eye and say, "How are you doing?" And I said, "No." I said, but I felt like if anything was really bad, he would mention it. Well, I said, like, if, you know, if like, I had a knife sticking out of my back, I would tell him. But other than that,
We don't understand what y'all talked about. Like, Kevin will go and he'll do something with somebody who I know is going through like a wrenching thing in their life. Divorce, a recent death or whatever. And I'll be like, so how was Ken? He's all right. Well, I'm just, you know, he seems so sad. Yep. He was fine today. Yep. What do you mean he was fine? Like, what? What do you talk about?
We will spend 4.5 hours on a golf course.
We'll spend four and a half hours
on the golf course, and nobody knows nothing about nobody's life unless it's something really big. And I'll come through the door. Did you have a good time? Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it took a little more than 4 hours, but it was really great. What'd you all talk about? The next shot? I mean, what do you mean? What did we talk about? Well, how are their wives? I don't know.
You guys, I can literally run into a woman that had a daughter on Karamia's dance team 4 years ago. I can run into her at CBS, and in 4 minutes, I can come home and say to my husband, you will not believe what Lisa's husband did. Lisa, remember the Karamia's dance friend? He's like, for like from middle school? Yeah, yeah. Do you know what her husband did with her sister? And he's like, how do you know this? Like, I just bumped into her at CVS. How'd that come up? It just did.
Happens with guys. It doesn't. No. It does not happen with guys. This woman says, reminds me of when I told my friend that men don't sleep in the same bed during sleepovers. And she goes, they don't?
No,
we don't. I don't want to sleep in the same room with another guy, mainly because there's a 50% likelihood that he snores all night long. And you can't get out of your bed, go over to another bed and say, hey, Tyler, I would never know anyone named Tyler, but Charlie, you're snoring. You can't do that. So you cannot be in the same room with them. I don't know how you do it. Had a meetup with the guys for hours. Yeah. Not a single photo was taken. Mary will say that. Did you take any pictures of the meeting?
No.
No one does that. No.
We do.
So anyway, there they are.
Yep.
Things that are normal to men and not to women. It's Morons in the News straight ahead. It's Bob and Sherry.
Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Are you ready?
We never seem to run out.
You're both morons.
Morons in the News with Bob and Sherry.
I think we can all agree that we need to have laws, don't we? We need to have laws. Yes. Or otherwise, things would just be bizarre and berserk and just awful. But sometimes laws need to bend just a little bit. Runaway graffiti, sometimes called urban art, has often been cited as, we all know, a major sign of urban decay and disrespect for private and public property. There are rules against graffiti, but enforcing it can get kind of tricky. There is a man whose name is Victor Silva Sr. I'm not going to tell you his age, and I'm not going to tell you how long he's been living in his Oakland home. I'll tell you in just a moment. Well, listen to this. Earlier this month, he got a violation citation from the city of Oakland to remove graffiti that was painted by who knows who on the back wall of his home. He has a fence, like a cement fence, in the back of his home, separating the, I guess, somebody's driveway and his house. And they said, you have got to get rid of that. That has to be painted over. That is a sight we don't want to see. It's going to be an $1,100 fine and an additional $1,277 for each failed re-inspection. So Mr. Victor Silva said this is absurd. If you drive around the city, you see graffiti everywhere. Why are they picking on me? Here's the problem with what the city is doing. Mr. Silva is 102 years old, and he has lived in that house and paid taxes for 80 years. He has never missed paying taxes for 80 years. And he said, I was in construction for a long time. And, you know, when this would happen, I'd just go out there and I would paint over it. But I'm 102 now, And it's a little more difficult to get it done in just a few days. And I'm looking at a picture of Mr. Silva in a wheelchair with a paintbrush thing on it. Thankfully, his son, who is a sprightly 70, came over and gave him a little bit of help. I picked this story because...
For shame.
It is kind of shocking. And I picked it, though, mainly because of what he said as far as living up to the age of 103. They've said, Victor, how do you do it? Quote, very easy. Just keep breathing and, you know, behave yourself. Well, there you know what? There you go.
Easier than the usual don't eat meat or chocolate or drink alcohol, get 10 hours of sleep a night, blah, 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 blah.
It's just total bottom line. You know, keep breathing and behave yourself. All right. Lamar?
An Aiken, South Carolina Walmart had an employee, Luis, with a prosthetic leg. They allowed him to use one of the store's electric carts to perform some of his job duties, like stocking shelves and different things. Everything's going great. Everybody's happy. Then after he's doing this job for a little bit less than a year, Luis was told that the carts are actually for customers only, and he was no longer allowed to use one. They gave him no other alternative to accommodate the disability. He was told he would have to change positions or buy his own electric cart. And he said, you know, I can't. He said, I can't. He said, I can't afford to buy the cart. And even if I could, I couldn't get it back and forth to work. And so what did Walmart, the inventor and proponent of the working man's worst enemy, self-checkout, do? They doubled down and placed this man on indefinite unpaid leave. The Equal Opportunity Commission stepped in. Walmart lost. Luis was awarded $70,000, offered a job at another Walmart in South Carolina, and the Aiken store is now required to get annual training, and I guess on how to be decent human beings. But Luis is going to be okay. Who's doing this? Who is doing this? It's crazy.
It is. That's the first time I've ever heard of somebody being offered a job. Plus, we'll give you $70,000 for our mistake. That's a first.
Yep.
Good for him.
Yep.
And that is Morons in the News. We'll get today's Moron of the Day posted up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. Do not move. We have such a show for you today. Stay at home, girlfriends. Bob and Sherry's Small Plates. Pirates. How to be romantically confident. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry are teaming up with Visit Florida this school year to salute teachers for all the hard work they do by giving them a chance to win a well-deserved relaxing vacation to Margaritaville Beach Resort, Fort Myers Beach. Situated on the Gulf of Mexico, this laid-back retreat is the perfect place for our teachers to find the coolest shells in the sand, sip frozen concoctions, indulge in local fare, and revel in spectacular sunsets. Plus, each teacher and their guest will receive exclusive access to the Fins Up Beach Club to enjoy the action-packed aquatic playground or chill out to the sound of great music on the Sunset Terrace. If you want to nominate a special teacher or even yourself to win this awesome vacation, log on to bobandsherry.com and hit the contest tab. Nominated teachers could win weekly prizes and qualify for the monthly grand prize, a spot to travel with us this summer on our trip for teachers to Florida. Teachers, we salute you with our trip for teachers to Florida from Visit Florida and Bob and Sherry. Contest rules apply.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
By now, everybody knows that there's going to be an eclipse on Monday, April the 8th. Now, if you're planning to watch it, you need glasses or risk serious eye damage. There will be a ton of places to get them, but there are also a ton of greedy people that will sell you cheap fakes. And if you haven't already got them, there's a website that you can go on to make sure or to order them and check out your glasses. We're going to post that. Now, how do you test your solar eclipse glasses? First of all, you should not be able to see anything through them except the sun itself or something very, very bright. They suggest that you check the sunlight reflected off of a mirror or a shiny object. If the sun's behind the clouds or on the other side of the earth, it's nighttime and you want to check them, you can use a bright LED, a flashlight on your phone, or a bare light bulb. The reflected sunlight or bright white light should appear very dim through a safe pair of eclipse glasses. If you can see the light behind a lampshade, or if it's a frosted bulb and you can see it, they are not strong enough to stare at the sun. Because when staring at the sun through safe solar eclipse glasses, the sun should appear comfortably bright like a full moon. According to the AAS, if your eclipse glasses are uncomfortable to use, that is also a good sign that they might not be legitimate. You've only got one set of eyeballs, man. You got to take care of them. You start staring at the sun and that'll be the end of that. And they've been telling us that for years. So I remember in school, they used to say, look through a smoked glass. Well, I don't have a smoked glass. I mean, I remember making us all stay inside because they couldn't trust us to not be staring at the sun.
They were right.
Yeah, because listen, my daddy used to tell me, if you're around somebody welding, don't stare at the welding because it'll make your eyes go out. Man, I've looked at so much welding. I'm like, you know, oh, my gosh, I couldn't help it. But listen, people, pay attention. Get the glasses. If you're going to participate, save your eyesight. This is a public service announcement from Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Easy Cater. Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work work.
It is time now for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here is comedian Gabriel Rutledge.
I recently lost not really enough weight to clap for. Thank you. That's nice. You shouldn't clap. It'll be back. When I lose weight, I'm not saying goodbye. I'm saying see you later. Until next time, old friend, bring bread. You're supposed to have a fitness goal to stay motivated, and I thought about it. I think I have mine. I would like to be able to show a picture of myself without a shirt on and not have people call it brave. If I could stop empowering people, that would be progress for me. I didn't know I was. I posted a beach photo on Facebook. Everyone commented, like, good for you. Oh, I have good for you, buddy? That's not good. Well, this is how I got motivated to lose weight. It was a weird way. I got an email from Amazon. And the email said, based on your recent activity, we thought you might be interested in this. And it was a picture of a bag of Cool Ranch Doritos. Which, honestly, I've never not been a little bit interested in. Unless you've been reading my journal, not sure how that's your business, Amazon. Based on what recent activity? It's not like, oh, I ordered a case of bean dip, so this makes sense. I've actually never ordered food from Amazon, not once. I think it's because I ordered an extra large shirt. And then I returned it and exchanged it for a double extra large shirt. Yeah, that's when the hurtful algorithm kicked in. Amazon's like, yeah, this is the kind of customer who would enjoy chips being mailed to his home. And then 2 days after that hurtful email, just out of nowhere, Cinnabon started following me on Twitter. Why? Cinnabon, did Amazon tell you about the shirt? Am I on an internet fat list? What is happening? Cyberbullying is real. It's real and it's effective. That's the day I decided. I was like, you know what? After I get those chips in the mail, it's time for better choices.
That is comedian Gabriel Rutledge. And we're gonna post that up at BOBANDSHERI.com. Click the menu tab and look for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Amazon does this other thing. So my daughters use my Amazon Prime account. And so over the years, I've ordered everything from crap for Karamia to dance to volleyball socks and whatever. So Amazon, if I like am looking at a t-shirt or yoga pants or whatever, Amazon will tell me what size it recommends for me.
Oh.
But it's, have you seen that? How it recommends your size?
Yes.
Yeah. But because so many people use my Amazon account, even the algorithm is like, girl, you're very changeable. IDK, maybe one size fits all. Like it's so bewildering and confusing. Now, while you're on our website, bobandsherry.com, we would love for you to do two things. First, nominate a school teacher to win an incredible trip to Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers, Florida. We are giving it away with our friends at Visit Florida because teachers do not get enough of anything. They don't get enough supplies. They don't get enough respect. They don't get enough paycheck. They don't get enough applause. And they don't get enough gratitude for the sacrifices they make to spend their days with our kids. So if you're at bobandsherry.com, nominate a teacher. And hey, teachers, you can nominate yourselves. Coming up on the show, we have tiny rules, just itty-bitty tiny rules to live a better life. And straight ahead, the stay-at-home girlfriend. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry are teaming up with Visit Florida this school year to salute teachers for all the hard work they do by giving them a chance to win a well-deserved relaxing vacation to Margaritaville Beach Resort, Fort Myers Beach. Situated on the Gulf of Mexico, this laid-back retreat is the perfect place for our teachers to find the coolest shells in the sand, sip frozen concoctions, indulge in local fare, and revel in spectacular sunsets. Plus, each teacher and their guest will receive exclusive access to the Fins Up Beach Club to enjoy the action-packed aquatic playground or chill out to the sound of great music on the Sunset Terrace. If you want to nominate a special teacher or even yourself to win this awesome vacation, log on to bobandsherry.com and hit the contest tab. Nominated teachers could win weekly prizes and qualify for the monthly grand prize, a spot to travel with us this summer on our trip for teachers to Florida. Teachers, we salute you with our trip for teachers to Florida from Visit Florida. And Bob and Sherry. Contest rules apply.
The Bob and Sherry website, the Oddcast, contest info, bobandsherry.com.
Bobandsherry.com is where you can nominate a teacher to win a vacation from Visit Florida to Margaritaville Beach Resort.
I did not know this species of women, this small group of women, even existed. And then I reflected and I said to myself, You know two women in this group. And the headline was, what happens to the stay-at-home girlfriend after the breakup? So if you're on TikTok, I'm just going to read the article. If you're on TikTok, you probably have seen them wearing athleisure sets in chic neutrals while making the bed or preparing coffee for their boyfriends. And a Bloom nutrition drink for themselves. Maybe they're getting their nails done, showing you their skincare routine, going to Pilates, narrating their day while twinkly music plays in the background. A day in my life as the stay-at-home girlfriend. There are 37.3 million views of stay-at-home girlfriend online. The trend has been featured in recent pieces in the New York Post and the Wall Street Journal. And one of the people who is followed is an influencer named Kendall Kay. And this is what Kendall Kay has said. People used to ask me, what's your dream job, Kendall? I never knew the answer. I then realized it's because I don't dream of labor. I dream of living a soft, feminine life and being a hot housewife. It's as simple as that. As simple as that. I'm looking at a picture of Kendall Kay. And she is as cute as a button. She's beautiful. She's tiny. She's blonde. And she's in a negligee doing her hair. Okay? So at first blush, you say, wow, she's got it figured out. She spends her day going and getting coffee, shopping, calling her friends. And it's all fine. Except there's no ring. And when the guy decides that he's going to move on, or if you discover, as some of these women who have been posting about this discover, he's got another girlfriend on the side, the breakup has to start and you have zip, because you've been enjoying this lifestyle, but all of a sudden you realize it sinks in. It's going to be really hard for me. How am I going to become a regular woman? I got to make a plan for myself. It's not the bottom line from this article is they interviewed like five women who were stay-at-home girlfriends, and they said it was fine until it wasn't. And at that point, the guy's not going to give you some money. You know, let's be honest, maybe somebody who is generous would, but a lot of times it's just, well, you know, we're not married, so we're breaking up. Goodbye. And then she finds herself not 23 years old anymore, but 30 years old with no skills.
I cannot relate to one word of this. And if either of my daughters did this, I would feel that I had failed them as a parent.
I agree. I totally agree.
This sounds, I feel like you're reading to me something that Helen Gurley Brown wrote in 1971 for Cosmopolitan mm-hmm. magazine. Mm-hmm. The idea of not like, you know, the song, God Bless the Child That Has Its Own? The idea of, there's nothing about this that I can relate to at all. I can't, I have not had one day in my life where anybody paid my bills. I cannot wrap my head around this.
Well, don't feel like you missed anything except for maybe those few years where everything is going great. And, you know, the first few years, generally in a relationship, everything is going great. It's the relationships that are strong that can go through some tough times. You are not the wife. And I know of two women I'm not super close to, but I've known them for quite some time. And they did this. One of them just said, I'm just a lazy person. She actually said that. She says, you know, I'll help where I can, but I'm kind of a lazy person. And all of a sudden, the boyfriend went bye-bye, and she is stuck, and she had to move in the garage apartment of a friend. And then the other one just has been going, once the stay-at-home girlfriend thing was gone, was just going from guy to guy, just guy to guy, trying to find somebody, almost like applying, like that was her job, you know?
As a parent, the first thing as soon as Kaylee could understand my language was, do not ever have to depend on somebody besides yourself. Don't have to depend on no man. Right. Do not depend on a man. Right. You got to, now, if you want to be a stay-at-home girlfriend for a while, that's fine, but you got to be prepared. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and I think it's okay to do that, but you're fooling yourself if you don't prepare. That's crazy.
Right. Well, the final comment in this article is, if you give a man the power to feed you, he has the power to starve you. So I agree, and I said the same thing to my girls. Have your own. It's Bob and Sherry.
Small Plates is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people.
It is time now for Bob and Sherry's Small Plates. Here's the first plate. Monopoly has been voted the best-loved family board game. It's been around since 1935, and behind that, it's Scrabble, Clue, Snakes and Ladders, I don't know that one, Operation, and then Twister. But Monopoly is number one. Have you seen the ads on TV for the new Monopoly game?
Yeah.
You knock your opponent off the board by flicking one of your one of the things that you use to move, or you could knock them into jail. I don't like that. I want my kids or grandchildren to sit there for 4.5 hours and just absolutely pass out from fatigue.
Wait, though. Why are we adding an element of snarky, aggressive bullying to it?
Gee, I can't imagine.
Isn't it enough that it's what it is? But, like, now part of the rules are you get to flick things at people? No, I don't like that.
Monopoly must have said people do not have the same concentration skills. They won't hang with it. They will not hang with it that long. Everybody, you know, has a short attention span now because of the internet. And so they had to jazz it up. They had to make it a little sexier. But I am completely against it. I want my grandchildren to be as bored as they can be after the third hour, just like I was. One in six of us have thought about ditching our partner because of how messy they are. Mostly about piles of random items sitting around, stacked up dirty plates, and so on. This is how much I love my wife. I would never think of leaving her for that. And as one of her friends once said, gee, Mary, when you walk through a house, you just kind of leave pieces of yourself as you go. And it's true. There's a coat here, there are shoes there. And I'm the one because I have a little bit of that in me that has to have it neater.
I mean, you'd have to be, I don't even know what you'd have to be for me to leave you for that.
Like I think a some hoarder.
I think maybe a hoarder. Oh, my
some
mom.
Some people have to be neat. Your mother is a good example.
My mom would leave a man who left a dirty dish on the table. She'd be like, you're get out and be lucky I didn't kill you. Like,
that's who they are. The average man's pants are 4.5 years old and have at least one hole in them. They get washed after every other wear, but some men wear them for 7 days before washing them. Men own an average of 13 pairs of pants, and smelly pants, and those with big holes, are the top five biggest turnoffs for women. What kind of a man is walking around with smelly pants? I mean, if you're working outside, you know, you're putting on roofs or whatever, I totally get it. But what kind of a guy just says, yeah, I don't think I have a problem with smelly pants?
I can't. Are you half man, half bear? I know.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Mowing the lawn, jet washing the patio, and polishing surfaces until they shine are the most satisfying do-it-yourself jobs. And speaking of do-it-yourself jobs, women now, because of the internet, are learning to do so many things around the house that their mothers did not learn. And my wife is the perfect example. She has learned how to put up large pictures with the right sort of hangers. She has learned how to mix paints when she needs to do it all on the internet. If I say anything like, how do you open up? She says, it's on internet. You can Google it. It's on the internet. And it is true. And women have been embracing the do-it-yourself stuff much more than guys have been.
Yeah, I don't want to do nothing myself. I'm not good at it. Don't like it.
I'm surprised at that, actually, Lamar. I would think you were a do-it-yourself guy.
I'm not. I'm really not. I got a lot of phone numbers. I got a guy, but I'm not the person.
Even though you ran the Budweiser warehouse, you didn't learn how to do electrical things or...
No, I call somebody.
Wow.
That's what the phone's for. That's why you got a phone. Call somebody.
Yeah. I feel better. Because you're more of a man's man than I am. And if you're not doing it, you know, that gives me a little bit of a pass.
There you go.
And finally,
you're welcome.
Getting a bunch of flowers or an unexpected delivery in the mail is among life's best surprises, both for men and for women. So there you go. It's Bob and Sherry's Small Plates. This is Bob and Sherry.
True. Weird. Stuff.
Omaha, 1890. Alan and Dorothy Jones were brutally murdered at their farm. The culprit? A man named Ed Neal, or so they say. Little is known about who he was or where he came from, but the actions of this ruthless killer sparked bloodlust in a town hellbent on revenge.
True. Weird. Stuff.
New episodes drop every Friday, everywhere you get your podcasts.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
You know, we talked about this a while ago. Might have been a month or so ago about the cicadas, the broods of cicadas that are coming.
Oh, yeah.
But I know how our attention span is. Everybody's forgot about it. But let me remind you, more than a trillion of these noisy bugs, they're going to pop up out of the ground starting in late April to the middle of May. There's two broods. One is concentrated in the Midwestern states, and the other one is in the South. Now, cicadas are like a big, large insect. They're 1 or 2 inches long. They're very, very noisy. After they emerge, the adults sing to attract females using special organs called timbals on their abdomen. And it's a hollow abdomen, and that's where all that comes from. And then the females respond by rubbing their wings together. So there are two combinations. You know, it's very nice to listen to that when you've got your window open in the spring. But no, not when there's a trillion of them. Brood 13 is on a 17-year cycle, and it's going to be mostly to northern Illinois, eastern Iowa, and southern Wisconsin. Brood 19 is on a 13-year cycle. It's going to be from Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Indiana, Illinois, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Missouri, Mississippi, North Carolina, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. And wow. the two broods are going to crisscross. They're going to overlap in a small area in central Illinois. This is going to be crazy. The next time this is going to happen for the 13 and 17-year-old at the same time is in 2037. And the next time that they're going to crisscross over each other is 2076. So this is not going to be, oh, it's so relaxing. Listen to the cicadas sing. It's going to be, shut up. I'm tired of hearing these cicadas. I mean, it's going to be crazy. So I've warned you again. I know you're going to forget about it. But in a few weeks, you're going to know trillions of cicadas are coming to get us.
The cicadas are more organized. The cicadas are more organized than our state legislatures.
Yes.
That time, it's amazing.
Probably not as annoying as the state legislators, though. This is Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
Talk back time. Now, there are a couple ways you can reach the show. You can always call us on the phone. I know that you do not like to talk on your texting device, but it does do that. And you can call 844-52-SHERI or you can grab our free app. It's free in Google Play and the Apple Store, and you can listen to the show and all the podcasts and text the studio and enter contests and tap the little microphone in bottom center of the screen and talk, and the app will do the rest.
I've just been listening to you guys talking about people eating off your plate. You are ordering at a restaurant. Oh my God, I ordered the food I wanted. Eat your own damn food. If you want some food, order it. Don't eat my food. I ordered what I wanted. You ordered what you wanted. Yes, I want every one of those French fries because I ordered them. If you want a French fry, order yourself some. Anyway, just thought I'd share.
Why are
there's,
men like
there's only
this?
Two
Why
types
are you
of
like
people.
This?
There's only two types of people. Maybe it is male and female. Either you agree with that guy, which I do, or you don't. And you think that everybody should be sampling, and this is my wife, sampling everything that is put in front of them.
I am not asking you to invite people in the restaurant to come over and try your shrimp. But that's your wife or your kid. Like what?
That's my shrimp.
I've said this to Kevin. I'm like, because he's all territorial about his food. I'm like, you know, one of us grew up without food. And that one of us isn't you. So why are you like this?
Oh, my God. Oh, you're good.
That is good.
You are good.
But because it's true. Yeah. One of us grew up food insecure and often went to bed hungry, and the other one is you. Yeah. So drop the aggressive stance, I'm coming for a tater tot. Like, what is wrong with you?
If you're going to play the childhood hunger card, I guess, if that's what you're going to do.
Yeah, that's what that is.
So I went and saw the Ghostbusters movie with someone who's very close to me. And so we get to the concession stand. She says, I'm not having any concessions. I brought a little water. It's in my purse. And I said, okay, fine.
Oh, you hadn't water bringing it in? Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I thought, you know what? I'm going to get some popcorn. I am going to get some popcorn. So I get the popcorn and I get my drink. And she says, I'm just going to have a little of yours. Now, this is after I have offered to buy you some. So we get into the theater. We're in the previews and I'm chomping away in the popcorn. And she had a bite. And then she said, are you going to save any for me?
Oh! You can't win.
There
I swear,
no
as a guy,
there
you
is
can't.
No winning.
There is no winning. The hunger card. That was below the belt, Sherry. I have to tell you.
I'm sorry, but it's so selfish and weird and territorial to me.
No, it's
a tater tot. It's a tater tot, which, by the way, I cooked for you. So drop your pit bull stance and back away from the plate. I'm coming in for one. It is
you
absolutely
cook for me in the restaurant.
Acceptable.
You didn't cook for me in the restaurant when I ordered the
What it feels like? You know what it feels like to me? It just feels petty and selfish when you won't let me have a French fry. It just feels selfish. Like, what is wrong with you? There is nothing on my plate that I would not give to my husband or children if they ask
There's
for
nothing
it.
But
you only have so many French fries. There's only so many.
There's nothing on the plate that he wants. That's the thing.
There's
nothing on his plate that's a French fry.
When you say I grew up and we didn't have that much food as a child, do you put like little ashes under your eyes, smeared on your face? Just to totally enhance.
I don't need props. My words are weapon enough. I don't need costumes and props.
We've got one more here.
Hey guys, Heidi here from Charlotte, North Carolina. Actually, just calling to kind of chime in this morning. I was listening in on your show and about sharing food with your spouse. And it definitely resonates, I think, with everyone. But I think for men, my husband and I have been married 33 years. And I think my only bit of advice is to not really sweat the small stuff. I know how men are, and I know they're hungry, and I know how they feel about their food. But at the end of the day, it's not really that important. And sometimes we just got to pick the battles in life. So anyway, that's my 2 cents. Thanks, guys. Love the show. Bye.
Shrimp are important. They're very important.
Yeah.
I told Kevin once, if you outlive me, you're going to lay awake at night and you're going to feel so much remorse for every single time you even looked at me funny over a French fry. I hope you can live with yourself, you monster.
Nice words to a widower.
Yeah.
Real nice.
Yes. Yeah.
He's trying to not outlive me just so he doesn't have to live with that. He told me, he said, between that and these cats, I want to die first. And that's marriage, everybody. Right there, that is marriage. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the Bob and Sherry off-air podcast called The Oddcast.
I was listening to the podcast.
With stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, or shouldn't do on the regular show.
Podcast.
The Bob and Sherry Oddcast drops every Monday with uncensored conversations, special guests, and true crime time.
That is 100% true.
The Bob and Sherry off-air podcast called The Oddcast.
I heard your podcast.
Yes, please go on.
On the free Bob and Sherry app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
I note that Pirates of the Caribbean producer Jerry Bruckheimer has announced he's planning on rebooting Pirates of the Caribbean. And listen to what he said. He was interviewed at comicbook.com. And he seemed to shade Johnny Depp a little bit here. He said, and I am quoting, "With Top Gun, you have an actor who is iconic and brilliant. And how many movies does he do before he does Top Gun? I can't tell you. But we're going to reboot Pirates, so it's going to be easier to put together this time because we won't have to wait for certain actors." Well, he's talking about Johnny Depp, and he is not announcing who's going to star as Captain Jack. I don't think they should do. I guess they're going to do it because it's a moneymaker. But don't you think a couple of those movies just became ridiculous? I know the whole thing is fantasy. Yeah.
No, more than a couple became ridiculous.
Yeah. It lost the charm of, scallywag sort of pirate. And it just went to those stupid underwater scenes and everything. Who could play Jack Sparrow if they're not
using
him? They're not using
him. No. We're done with Captain Jack Sparrow. Now it's time for Captain Anne Bonny, the most bloodthirsty, crazy, badass girl pirate of all time. That's how you reboot pirates.
They've been talking to Margot Robbie. They've been talking to Margot Robbie about it. And so you're going to have to do it completely different if you have any hope whatsoever. You do have to go with a woman pirate. And Margot Robbie could do it.
She definitely could do it. Yeah.
You remember how mean she is? She's good. She's good.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think you're right, Sherry. Were they talking publicly about her being the Jack Sparrow sort of character?
They've been talking about it for months.
Yeah, she's the right choice on that.
He keeps saying, I'm not going to do it, but I don't think they're asking him. They're not even asking him. I don't want to do that. No, not
after that comment, no. I noticed something with my daughter, Allie. First of all, she does not check messages. And nobody in her generation checks messages. All right? It's just don't leave a message. They're going to see that you called, but they're not going to check the messages. And according to what I'm reading here, they're also setting their phones now to DND, do not disturb, for most of the day. And I noticed about 3 months ago, I would text her something and it's on DND. And I'm going, maybe she's working, maybe she's driving. But she used to have that thing in her hand watching it 24/7. This generation, we're talking about Generation Zers, is showing on social how they set their phones to do not disturb all day. Teens and 20-somethings say that it is a more peaceful and productive period for them. Many say in the videos that, and I think it's funny that they're saying, I don't use my phone in a phone video. They are saying that they need to set boundaries. Influencer Madeline Crestman says, when I'm trying to study for an upcoming exam, a new Snapchat notification or an Instagram message can often send me into a downward spiral of scrolling through my social media accounts for several minutes. Her phone now is set to DND. How many of us could do that?
My girls not only have their phones on DND, but they deleted all their social media. And you can get irate and go, well, take your phone off DND, but you got to pick your side. Either rant about the youth and their phones or accept that they've grown up with a phone in their hand and they have figured out like what they need to do to not be distracted by it. Cause you can always, by the way, like when you want Allie's attention, her phone will be on do not disturb, but there's an option where you can alert her anyway. Like if you really need to get her and it'll break through the DND and
how do you do that? How do you do that? Is that confusing to do?
No. So like, let's say
never
the phone
mind.
Is on.
No, don't bother. I'll just call Mary, which is my default.
No. It'll say this person has notification silence. Notify anyway. And you'll tap yes. And it'll break through the DND and notify them. But
some of
them
you can say if you call three times in a row, it'll go through too.
That's what I do.
I mean, we got to decide what we're going to rant about. Gen Z and their phones. Now it's Gen Z and not their phones. Like we have to.
I know.
They stay on their phone all the time. Now they're never on their phone.
This is what's good about Lamar. Lamar's like, I don't give a damn about Gen Z. Just do not eat turkey bacon or Miracle Whip. The man has a lane and he stays right in it. You could care less if your phone's on DND.
Y'all are in trouble.
As long as you don't have a piece of turkey bacon in one hand, he's good.
Yeah, I'm good.
They're on the right track. This is Bob and Sherry. Can you believe this is sponsored by Progressive Insurance? Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's
Believe This Shit.
I cannot believe this shit.
this is really good news for you guys, because you all are, I think you all have great romantic competence, which is a whole set of skills that makes it easier to have like a healthy, loving relationship with your partner. I think all of you have high levels of romantic competence. So what is romantic competence? Well, there are a handful of major components, right? One of them is you have to be introspective, because people who are introspective tend to be less reactive and more aware of how their own strengths and issues and trigger points come into the relationship. And I think that all of you, unless you disagree, that's something that you have. I think you think a lot about what kind of partner you're going to be and how you're going to react in certain situations. Agree, disagree?
Yeah, I think that that's true of all of us. Yeah.
Yes, many skills.
Y'all are going to feel so good about yourselves at the end of this. It's going to be a little unsettling. Finally. But romantic competence, highly romantically competent men. You're very good at the next thing, which is interdependence. This is acknowledging and taking care of your own needs while also acknowledging and tending to the relationship, right? So like some people need, even though they're in a relationship, they need lots of alone time, or they need, they have like a whole set of other health things that they follow, or they need time to devote to other activities. I think you're all very good at that. Agree or disagree?
Yeah.
Yeah. I could be better.
Tell me how you could be better.
This is not because I'm so big-hearted or anything like that. It's just, my codependence, which I'm trying to get under control. I really can't be happy unless she's happy. Even if I have nothing to do with her mood, I try to figure a way. I haven't totally gotten to the point where I can just walk away and say, "Well, I'm sorry that happened with you and so and so, but what are you gonna do?" And get on with it. If she's I'm really not that happy.
I know that about you, and it's true. And I was reading a really interesting article about trauma responses. So kids that grew up with unpredictable emotional attachment with parents do what you just described. They do it. I do it too. Yeah, it's a trauma response. And I was going to talk about it on the show, but then I said to myself, well, that just feels kind of sad, and Bob will be like, oh, so what's wrong with me is I wasn't loved enough in childhood, which isn't exactly true. It's just that your parents were not reliably predictable in their behaviors. But then you'll walk around all day feeling like, well, I'm a disaster because no one loved me. And that, that's not what we are trying for here. Let's just focus on how romantically competent you are. That's a good thing. Here's the next thing. You're good. And I think this is true for all three of you. You're good about communicating. Does that mean that you get to it in the exact moment that you should? No, because nobody's perfect. But you're really good not just at talking, but at listening. I think that's true for all of you.
Even Doc, who's
decided to die alone with only pizza. But I think this is also true for Doc. So how does it, take a minute and have a victory lap. Take the W here. You guys are romantically competent men.
Yeah. Yeah.
Competent. That's what I want to be known for. Competent.
Competence. Competent. Yeah.
It's not crazy good. Not horrible.
not great.
Competent.
Just competent. Yeah.
Competent.
Adequate.
You don't walk around with your fly open all the time. That's competent.
You know what a competent romantic man, his motto is?
What is it?
First, do no harm. Just don't do any harm. That's it. Don't, because we're competent.
Yeah.
And you know what?
You're competent. Exactly.
Yeah.
And as long as Carla's not expecting anything above competent, I think we're good to go.
Let me go out on the ledge and say it seems to me that she's more than satisfied with just competence, right?
Competent, yeah. She's got competence. Yeah. She's competently happy.
Take the win. It's Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry store is restocked with the book Cooking with Cats. Sherry Lynch's cookbook with great recipes and pictures, of course, of lots of cats.
He's a man's man.
And now available, The Book of Bob.
That makes me so happy.
Sherry has written down Bob's proclamations and witticisms over the years.
Really?
And now in book form.
I'm fabulous.
But it's not available any place but at the Bob and Sherry store.
I am sorry for living.
At bobandsherry.com.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
So I was reading the New York Times food section, and there's a writer whose name is Emily Weinstein, and she did a description of what bacon is, and I saved it, and I would like to read it to you, Lamar. If you are a new listener, I don't think Lamar likes anything except his wife more than bacon. He likes bacon more than he does his foot, okay? Yes. He loves bacon. And here is the description. If you eat meat or have ever eaten meat, then I probably don't need to mount an argument for bacon, a food so powerfully appealing that science has sought to explain the reasons why. Bacon is transformative in cooking, elevating other ingredients that share the bun or the pan or the plate. That, of course, includes eggs, which don't need bacon's help to be delicious, but become even more so in a New York-style breakfast sandwich or a bowl of spaghetti carbonara. That's her description of bacon. Any argument? Anything you'd like to add to it? Because I think she nailed it.
Well, but you have a responsibility of how you handle the bacon. You have to be careful with the bacon. You can't just throw it in a pan. That's not working.
Right.
Unless you're
going
to chop it up into pieces and you add it to something. You have to treat it with the respect it deserves so that you get that fully rendered, when that fat renders just exactly, not too much, not too little, and it almost melts in your mouth when you put it in your mouth. That's what you want. That's what you aspire to. That's what
now,
bacon can be, and it should be.
Do you use really thick bacon or just regular store bacon?
No. Thick bacon.
Yeah.
Thick.
Oh, when I discovered thick bacon, that was just an amazing moment. So there it is. Bacon, not good for you, but it does all the things that she was talking
about. Good for me.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's clean, O-R-I-G-I-N.com, code RADIO10.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
Good morning, Lucy.
Hey, Lucy.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, my mama did this not once, but three times. The first time, she went to the middle school, and my brother was a diabetic, and he apparently ate one of the teacher's low-fat muffins. And, his blood sugar was dropping or whatever. He needed something to eat. So she goes up to the school because he gets in trouble for eating the muffin. Principal comes in there, and I guess out of a reaction, when he touched her arm, she comes up from the left, way down in Mississippi, and comes right up against his side of his head and punched him right in the head.
The principal. Your mama punched the principal?
Wait a minute. I love your mama, and I love you, Lucy. From way down there in Mississippi.
And she punched the principal. And then the next day, she had to go hide out at the logger's office because the cops were out looking for her. And she was freaking out because she said, I just punched the principal. So the next day, I go to school, and God bless that principal didn't have to wear a ball cap all day long to cover up the knot that my mama put on his head.
You were so proud of her in
what
that moment, weren't you?
What happened to her? Nothing.
She got up because he touched her first. And it was just like a reaction.
Uh-huh.
But the That's the first time it happened. The second time it happened, my brother, when he was in high school, another brother, had gotten into with a bad crowd, and they were, you know, doing like marijuana or whatever, you know, just kind of getting into a little bit of drugs. And my mama found out, and she'd get in her car and follow my brother when he was skipping school. And one day she called him as they were coming back from skipping school and ran him down in the parking lot and blocked the car in and was screaming and yelling and threatening to pull the drug dealer out and called him maggot and all kinds of other stuff. I mean, it was crazy. And these poor kids are sitting in the car like, what in the world? Your mom's psycho. And she never actually hit any of them, but that the one guy got the nickname Maggot for like the rest of his life after my mom called him that.
So he was the one that was bringing the dope?
Yeah, he was the one that was doing it, yeah.
Okay, now what's the third time?
The third time happened to me. I was in band, and we had a real, real bad band director. He was real condescending, real, everything you did was wrong. You know, he was really a horrible band director, but I was first chair saxophone player, and, you know, I'd always done really good, but I needed to stay after school to take an exam and not go and play for a little concert that we were doing for the community. And the band director jumped all over me, and I just told him, okay, you know, I'm done. I have to take this exam. I can't be in the band anymore. Well, they cornered me in the band room office and were just letting me have it. So when I finally got out of there, I go and I call my mom at home, and I told her what happened. I was upset and crying. My mom shows up. She's been out doing yard work. She was sweaty. She had on a torn T-shirt. She had grass stains on her old raggedy shoes.
Here comes Mississippi and Texas.
I'm telling you. She came up to the front of the school, and I was all upset. And I was like, I just want to go home. She said, okay. And I got in the car. But she made a sudden right turn to go towards the back of the school where the band room was. I said, Mama, what are you doing? She said, I'm going back here to speak to the band director. And I said, please, no. There were like 200 kids in this band room at this moment. He storms into the band room, gets right in the band director's face, calls him a P-U-S-S-Y in front of the entire band.
Thanks for not saying that, by the way.
Yeah. Not everyone can spell, and that's good.
Yeah.
So go on.
She called him that.
I would dearly love to have been there. Go on.
What happened then?
Then she gets all on his face, and he's a little bitty short man, and she gets all on his face and tells me he wants to pick on someone, and he's picking on someone his own size, and he's not going to be picking on her daughter, and if he has anything to say, he can call her. And, I mean, she just goes on a rant. And as she's leaving, she tries to slam the door to the band room, but they were like revolving doors kind of thing, so it really didn't slam. But the next day, I had to go to school. The entire school was talking about it, and I just wanted to die of shame. I mean, in a way, you know, I'm like, yay, that's my mom. But
no, I was going to...
I love you, Lucy.
Lucy, I was going to ask you that. Like, in a way, did you not feel like, yeah, that's my mama right there?
Yeah, it's like, finally, somebody told him, you know, where to put it. But in another way, I still had to go to school the next day. And everybody's saying, dude, is your mom not medicated? And I'm like, nope.
Lucy, I love your mom too, but I have to tell you, she is cuckoo as cocoa puffs.
I disagree. I think your mom is amazing. And I don't want your mom medicated. I think that is a mother's love right there.
You cannot call the band director.
You know, you can't, but what I wouldn't give to have been there.
What's the third time, real quick?
That was the third time.
Okay, yeah. We got them all.
It was the two brothers and then Lucy.
Okay.
And then me, yep.
It was punching the principal in the head, calling the drug dealer a maggot,
there you go.
And then calling the band dealer, the band director. And again, thank you for spelling.
The female part.
Yeah.
Lucy, that's a great story.
True. Weird. Stuff.
Omaha, 1890. Alan and Dorothy Jones were brutally murdered at their farm. The culprit, a man named Ed Neal, or so they say. Little is known about who he was or where he came from, but the actions of this ruthless killer sparked bloodlust in a town hell-bent on revenge.
True. Weird. Stuff.
New episodes drop every Friday, everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
On one of the social platforms, I follow a feed called Internet Hall of Fame. And basically, it's screenshots of things that have been on the internet since the internet was invented. And then that must be Twitter, because they retweet the screenshots of these events. And I about choked on my drink when I read this one. It was a woman who said, imagine my surprise as I was pulling into work this morning to be cut off by a guy who laid on his horn, flipped me off, rolled down the window, and called me a blanking blank to the blank blank. Only to get into my office to interview my first job candidate of the day, and it was him.
Oh, God.
What a gift. No. What a gift. What a gift.
Totally.
Please let us put ourselves there on both sides of that desk. If that, I want to be, now be honest, that's you, Bob, or Lamar, okay, or Max. You have, Bob, we'll start with you because you used to get very passionate in traffic, very passionate man in traffic. Just red
so
hot.
I'm the one who did that? I want to be guy, the one who's interviewing. Oh, the person.
You can be that too. You can be that too. Right. But first you have, okay, to be the guy, because you know that you have been guilty of being very passionate in traffic, yelling at people, flipping them off, all sorts of things. You roll in, and that is who you're interviewing with for this job. What in the world could you possibly say?
I am so sorry that I did that. It's so unlike me, but I'm just going to be honest, and I'm not talking about this very much. I have to have my pinky toe removed. I was told by a doctor they just think it has to go, and I just found out about it yesterday. It's all I can be thinking about.
Okay, here's why I'm not hiring you. Here's why I'm not hiring you. One, the way you just acted in the parking lot. And two, you're going to be taking some sick time as soon as you start based on this gangrenous digit.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you still want to hire him because he had this.
No, he's not going to be here. He's not going to be here. And then, he's going to have.
He's a weight on the insurance. Yeah. He's a weight.
Then it's going to be old Weatherfoot. The new guy is saying it's going to rain because his foot is throbbing, blah, blah.
All right, let me be the person doing the interview, and I was the one who was cut off. All right,
okay,
I'm the one that was cut off, and we lock eyes, and I just say, "So, how would you describe yourself?"
That's a good one. That's a solid opening. Round of applause.
Yeah. Thank you.
How about you, Lamar? How would you handle yourself? You've just behaved like a maniac in the parking lot to the woman who's interviewing you for the dream job.
I walk in, I sit down, I make eye contact with her. I realize exactly who she is and exactly who I am. And I stand back up and I say, I am so sorry to waste your time, but I do want to apologize for my behavior because I was completely wrong and I'm very sorry.
As the person interviewing you, I'm so impressed by that.
Yeah, I would be too.
You took ownership of it.
It's not the pinky. Yeah. It's not the pinky toe situation.
What is though? I thought you handled that really well. I don't know. I'm such a doormat that I probably would ask you to sit back down and at least interview you. At least give you the courtesy of interviewing.
That's the only chance I got is to own it, apologize for it, and be gracious to leave. Now, if she says, "Hey, I tell you what, I'm going to give you a shot." Then I say, can't believe you're doing this, but thank you so much. And let's start over. And then hopefully I could get the job. But otherwise, no, gosh, no.
Now, what
I'm embarrassed I've done that to a woman. Number one, I'm embarrassed that I've done that to a woman.
No, and this of all the women, there are so many women. Yeah. There are gazillions of women. You can't even count all the women. And you did it to this woman. All right. Yes. So now flip it. You've interviewed a lot of people in your days at Anheuser-Busch. How do you treat that person in the job interview?
We sit down and I look at them and I say, quick question. Do you have anger issues? Because it seems like you do. And I'm concerned that working here, if you get that upset in a parking lot, I got some crazy people that work here. So I'm satisfied you're killing somebody. before the end of the day. So let's just quit Spark Company right now.
That's really good.
I don't have to ask Doc, because as soon as it happened, Doc turned his truck around and went off the grid and has not been seen since. And as for Max, Max hasn't been allowed out of his hot windowless closet since March 15th, 2020. He's not interviewing for jobs or cutting anyone off in traffic, because you'd have to go outside to do that. It's Bob and Sherry.
All right, I'm going to set this up, and then we're going to figure out how we would handle the situation. There's a group of community garden workers in San Francisco, and they're all get together to do this gardening and whatever. Well, they find a duffel bag filled with wads of wet cash, $100 bills that total up to $50,000 wrapped in napkins. Now, the bag was in a planter box. It was underneath a bunch of dirt and stuff, and they found it. And they sifted through the bills and stuff, and they counted them up, like 50,000. Some of the bills were sort of fused together, been exposed to the elements, but they were wrapped in fairly new napkins, so that doesn't make a lot of sense. But the San Francisco police came out and confirmed that, yes, you know, okay, this is $50,000 it's found, so they take the money back as evidence, and they have no idea where it came from, don't know how it ended up in the planter. And one of the people that were doing the digging said that maybe it was related to the Lunar New Year celebrations that occurred the weekend before, but the money looked like it had been buried for a while. Now, question number one, what does the police do with it? It's found money. What do they do? But first off, if me and Bob, Sherry, Max, Doc, if we're all working together in the community garden, and we find $50,000 cash, $100 bills, what are we doing?
Well, we really want to keep it. We really do want to divide it up and keep it. I mean, y'all can do whatever you want about, well, we're going to give it to the Sisters of Mercy, or we're going to the police. What we're going to do is wipe it off on our jeans and divide it up and keep it.
I'm with you, Sherry. Yeah, that's exactly
Everybody gets $10,000. Everybody gets $10,000, and we won't about our business. But what if this is mob money? What if this is like, this is like a movie where you've taken the money and they track you down? Are you afraid you're going to get into trouble? What's the deal?
Yeah. There are two things. My upbringing and the movie A Simple Plan tell me that if you find cash, you should just keep running in the other direction. That you should never, ever, 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 ever keep a criminal's money. What do you think?
This is just so boring, but I probably would call the cops, because that's dirty money some way, both figuratively and literally.
Sherry, Doc, Max, if y'all will get with me, we can kill Bob. Now that gives us an extra. It gives us an extra $2,000 a piece, and you know
we're not going to get ratted out.
No, because you got to kill Bob at this point. Because Bob says we should call the cops. Okay, right there tells you he's not in. He's not in. Mm-hmm. So we got to kill him.
By the way, for people who think that I'm just this goody, I'm a talking goody who doesn't walk the walk. I haven't mentioned this in a long time. A girlfriend and I pulled into a rest stop off of I-85. I think I was 23 years old, and I wasn't making much money. And we pulled into the rest stop, and I came back to my Volkswagen, and right there in the parking lot was a wallet. And I found the wallet and picked it up, and there was $1,800 in it. And I said to my girlfriend, we could go to Paris. We could go round trip to Paris, including the hotel with this money. But we got to turn it in. And she said, don't turn it in here. You got to turn it in. And I went and turned it into the police station. And they opened it up. And they got, there's the guy's driver's license was in it. And his name was Dumas, Mr. Dumas. Or as the officer said, Mr. Dumas.
Yeah.
Mr. Dumbass. And they said, here's the deal. You're going to get the money if this guy doesn't come and try to collect it. Now, we have to contact him. But if he all of a sudden doesn't want any part of this for whatever reason, that money is yours. And so for a week, I was on pins and needles because for me, it would have been like not life changing, but a big deal. And Mr. Dumas showed up.
Yep. But here's why I keep walking and don't even go to the police, because I've seen the movie No Country for Old Men, which I realize not a documentary. Right. Mm. But Anton, all you had to do was know about, look at, or touch Anton's money, and he came and killed you with that cattle pneumatic thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Remember
maybe he
the
let
last...
you flip a quarter. Maybe he let you flip a quarter and see how it lands.
Yeah. Remember the scene with his wife? And she's like, Mister, you don't have to do this. But he did. So there's the money. And there's me walking away from it. And God will sort it out. I'm not touching
it. Hey, Cher, let's give it all to Lamar. Let him hold it for a while. And then we can split it up.
Hey, Bob. We'll make it quick. You won't suffer. We'll make it quick.
Yeah. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry are teaming up with Visit Florida this school year to salute teachers for all the hard work they do by giving them a chance to win a well-deserved relaxing vacation to Margaritaville Beach Resort, Fort Myers Beach. Situated on the Gulf of Mexico, this laid-back retreat is the perfect place for our teachers to find the coolest shells in the sand, sip frozen concoctions, indulge in local fare, and revel in spectacular sunsets. Plus, each teacher and their guest will receive exclusive access to the Fins Up Beach Club to enjoy the action-packed aquatic playground or chill out to the sound of great music on the Sunset Terrace. If you want to nominate a special teacher or even yourself to win this awesome vacation, log on to bobandsherry.com and hit the contest tab. Nominated teachers could win weekly prizes and qualify for the monthly grand prize, a spot to travel with us this summer on our trip for teachers to Florida. Teachers, we salute you with our trip for teachers to Florida from Visit Florida and Bob and Sherry. Contest rules apply.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
I thought this was really interesting. It's a British magazine that specializes in Hollywood, films, movies, and TV, and they have the 30 feel-good films of all time. Feel-good films. I don't have time for all 30. I'm going to give you their top 10. They're almost all American productions, with the exception of maybe one. And music is a very big part in most of these movies, one way or the other. Number 10, feel-good film for the people of Great Britain, Toy Story. I think we can agree that deserves to be up there. Number 9, Mary Poppins. Number 8, Jurassic Park. I guess from an entertainment standpoint, that would be all right. Number 7, Titanic. Is that a feel-good film or just kind of an amazing
production? It's hard to see. I mean, a lot of people drowned in the frigid North Atlantic. Yeah. It's hard for me to see it as a feel-good film.
Right. Number 6, Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah. Number 5, here you go, Great Britain, Love Actually. That's in the top 5, and we all, I think, love that movie. I didn't see that last Christmas. Kind of watch it again next year. Number 4, Home Alone. Number 3 is Dirty Dancing. And number 2, Back to the Future. And this, ladies and gentlemen, musically and on the list, is Great Britain's favorite feel-good film. To be what we feel, Greece is the word. Greece is the word, is the word. It's Greece. It's Greece.
Was this song even in the movie? I don't think it was.
No, it was in
the
opening.
Credits.
Is it?
It's was the beginning or the end?
Yeah.
It was the beginning.
All that great music and then there's this.
I know. It was an add-on. It was not in the Broadway play, I don't think. So there it is. I think you have to agree, they are movies that people have watched over and over for decades now. It's Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to CleanOrigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to CleanOrigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's CleanOrigin.com, code RADIO10.